here tonight on the three instruments of spirituality. And the second instrument we're going to look at is the yoke. Matthew 11, let's stand together. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, I love you, and I thank you for the privilege to open your book and preach to your people. Now, Lord, I pray for your anointing as I preach. And, Lord, you know how much fun we had together today studying this. And, Lord, I pray your people came and their hearts are that fertile ground, that the incorruptible seed would fall in the hearts of your people and bring forth fruit for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew, thank you. You may be seated. The last couple services, we have looked at the cross. Our text was Mark 8, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The cross is an instrument of death. It is a way of life. The yoke, we're going to see, is an instrument of service. It was a beast of burden that we know got yoked up in the yoke. We also know that the yoke is a walk with the Lord, and it is intended to be an instrument of delight. We'll look at the towel and basin on Sunday, and the towel and basin. Listen, when you study that out, it was used by the lowliest servant in the house. None of these instruments speak about lifting one up, praising one, bringing glory to one, or telling us how wonderful we are. It's about humility. Serving the Lord is not a hard, terrible task. Some saved people talk about God like he's your enemy. That's ridiculous. Serving God is not a hard, terrible task. It's way easier. Listen, it's way easier to serve the Lord than it was the devil. I was in the devil's field for a lot of years. He's a hard taskmaster. We read that the cross was voluntary and it brings liberty. We studied that the cross was for somebody else. It was victorious. It was for an approved sacrifice and it was visible and it was the will of God. You know what the cross will help you do? Get victory over your flesh. No cross, no victory over your flesh. Because the cross is an instrument of death. Paul said, now, if you don't need to die daily, then you're a better Christian than Paul was, because Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "I die daily." You want victory over your flesh? You're going to have to pick up your cross. The yoke is a walk with the Lord. It's an instrument of delight. It's a ministry with the Lord. You know what the yoke will give you victory over? The world. You can't walk with the world and walk with the Lord at the same time. The only way for us to get out of this world and not have the world control us is to get in the yoke with him. And then the towel and the basin, we'll see that's our victory over the devil. What was the devil's number one sin? Pride. Pride's an abomination with the Lord. Now, I know some of you, you are proud. You are proud that you are proud. And you think you're justified to be proud. Well, you are wrong. God hates pride. It makes him sick to his stomach. You and I deserve to be in hell tonight. You don't deserve the least of his blessings. And yet, daily, he loadeth us down with his benefits. The reason you gripe and complain is because you're proud. You got way too high an opinion of yourself. That towel and basin, that'll give us victory over the devil, because the devil wants us to exalt ourselves. Well, you know, my children, they should be doing this in the church. That's pride. Well, you know, the pastor, he acknowledged so-and-so doing this, but he didn't acknowledge me doing it. That's your pride. Well, the pastor, he sings Tim, but he doesn't sing me. Well, it's probably a good reason I don't sing you. Say amen. I know y'all are having a hard time with it, huh? Getting any victory in your life? Over the flesh? Over the world? Over the devil? That's why the Lord's given us this. So my text in Matthew 11 is about the yoke. The cross is our cross. He says, take up your cross. But the yoke, that's his yoke. And the yoke has to be voluntary. What did he say? The Lord is not going to drive or force anyone to get in the yoke. Amen. The Lord does not force anyone to live for him. He does not force anyone to serve him. He just does not do that. It is voluntary. He says, take it. God doesn't force you to do that. You don't have to serve the Lord. You don't have to walk with God. You don't have to. You will regret it one day, but you don't have to. Times that we're living in right now, you don't have to come to church on a Wednesday night. You don't have to pass out tracts. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to give the faith promise. But there'll be a day that you'll regret you did not do that. You don't have to read your Bible every day. You don't have to have a prayer life. You don't have to pray. You don't have to have grace with one another, forgiveness with one another. But there'll be a day that you wish that you had. And the reason you don't is because you're in the flesh and you're walking with the world. The yoke in the Bible is about bondage. Let's go back to Leviticus 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26, look at verse 13 with me. Leviticus 26, verse 13. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Do you see the bondage there with the yoke? Go with me to Deuteronomy, if you would, please. Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to show you all the verses, but I want to give you some to get a foundation. The yoke in the Bible is talking about bondage. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. You see the bondage with the yoke? The yoke is interchangeable with the bondage there in the Old Testament. Go to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. Look at verse number 4. This is after Solomon had died and Rehoboam is playing the fool. Verse 4, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Y'all with me? Yoke, bondage. I got several other verses. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians 6, familiar verse to us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When a saved person is yoked together with a lost person, what is it? It's bondage. It's bondage. You're going two different ways, guys. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Okay, now our text verse, listen, I'll just read it to you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my burden is, and my, my yoke is, anything the Lord offers us isn't a burden. It's a blessing. So he is offering that you and I get in the yoke with him. Amen. And it brings rest. And it's easy. and it's late. Brother Jack's daddy was a mule trader, and Jack had a million stories about his daddy and the mule business and all like that. And what they would do is they would take an old Jack and harness that old Jack with a young Jack. Well, the young Jack is all full of vinegar and energy, but he doesn't know how to plow that field where the old Jack does. And so the young Jack is prancing and dancing and everything, but the old Jack is just plodding, and because he's stronger, he's doing all the work. Well, the young one is just in the harness with him until he learns. And a lot of times we get in the yoke and we think we're doing so much for the Lord. And we're prancing and dancing, and the Lord just says, just keep going this way. We okay? I thank the Lord that I have had the privilege to work with a lot of saved people, Christians, that know what it is to get in the yoke with the Lord. You don't get God's work done without Christians getting in the yoke with the Lord. It doesn't happen. I could tell you, I can remember Miss Keena and I were so young and green. We didn't know anything. We didn't have anything. We didn't suspect anything. And God sent people across our paths that had yoked up with the Lord. That Mrs. Edmondson, I've mentioned her to you. She was over 90 years old when we met her. She was legally blind. She had sat under Ironside in New York City. She had seen the churches, the mainline denominational churches, go down the tubes, and she had seen the churches that were fundamental start bringing in the dance bands for the teenagers on Saturday nights and stuff like that. She was raised in a Methodist background, and they did no cooking on Sunday. And the children were not allowed to go out and play on Sunday. And she just told me stories about being brought up, and she was just completely overtaken with the compromise in the church. She rented an upstairs apartment from two ladies who went to the Assembly of God. The Assembly of God is charismatic, okay? And so she was legally blind. Literally, guys, her glasses were Coke bottles. And she had a little, the people downstairs had a little TV in their kitchen. And that lady told me one day those ladies invited her down to watch a Christian TV show. Well, Miss Edmondson never heard of a Christian TV show. So she went down and sat with these two charismatic women in their britches. And she's watching this. And Tammy Faye Baker came on. And Miss Edmondson goes, "Who is that painted up whore?" And those two, don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. Some of you're just waiting to pounce on me. I didn't say that. A 93-year-old lady said that. Those charismatics got mad. And I'd visit her at least once a week. And I'd sat down. She goes, "Pastor Keenan," she said, "it's always been the whores that paint their face, not Christian ladies." I said, "Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am." Yep, you don't just drop a frog into a pot of boiling water, do you? Nice, cool water. And just slowly turn up the heat. That's what happens to the church. Everybody thought those old-time preachers were fools for preaching against that television and preaching against the britches on women and preaching against painting up and evil communications. And look where we're at today. No, those old men were right. And I thank God that I've had the privilege. You know, we have these quote-unquote famous Christians. And let's face it, you know, we've read some great stories. That Tommy Tillman, I mean, what a great, godly man of God. But I'm telling you, there's a ton of people you never met, I never met, you never heard of, I never heard of. And when we get to heaven, they're going to be way up in the front of the line, and we're going to be way in the back of the line. Because they got in the yoke with the Lord. Amen. Buddy, they were a blessing to me. You know what they were? They were selfless. It wasn't about them. It was about the Lord. You know, some of you cannot just seamlessly work into the program. Why? Because you're not selfless. I'm not preaching to the church down the road. I'm preaching to you. You know, I got to do this. I need this. I got this. Well, then we'll get somebody else. You yoke up with the Lord under that burden. I told you Christianity without a cross is very mechanical, just going through the motions, not trying to reach the world. I asked Daniel. Daniel drives for those Amish, and I asked him, have you ever been invited to an Amish service? What'd you say? He never has. Lanny Hasbrook, he met some Amish. And he said, I want to be an Amish. He did. They go, no, you can't do that. He goes, why not? You're too old. What do you mean I'm too old? You're too old. If you're going to come be an Amish, you've got to come work in our community for a year, and you're too old to work. And he goes, I can work. You know, some Baptists are like the Amish. They're separated. But they don't care about people going to hell. I had the privilege to take my wife out for brunch today. Yeah. So I'm an old man, you know, and I drank coffee going there. So by the time I got to the restaurant, I had to go to the bathroom. So I used the bathroom and I left a Chick Track in there. Well, by the end of brunch, I had to go again. So I go back in the bathroom and there's a Amish guy at the urinal reading the tract of him. And I know that's just a tiny little thing, but that's a blessing. And I used the stall. So he was finishing up and he left. Well, he left the tract there. I thought, oh man, I wish he had taken it with him. But he read it. And you prayed that those tracts would get read. And that is a great prayer to pray, that they would get read. I really do believe Chick tracts get read. If out of nothing else, curiosity. So, if you're a Christian and you have a cross, but you're not in the yoke, you're just a martyr. Look what I do for God. Nobody appreciates it. Look at all I do. Nobody ever mentions it. Now, you're a martyr. You get in the yoke, you're selfless. We do not fill the command of God by simply having a cross, because he said in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let's go back to Genesis 27 and show you the very first time yoke is used in the Bible. Genesis 27. Genesis 27. Genesis 27, verse 40. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. You know what yoke has? Has to do with dominion, domination, ruling. We read it over there in Leviticus 26, 13. When they were liberated from Egypt, they got out from Pharaoh's iron rule. Go to Exodus 21 with me, if you would, please. Exodus 21. Exodus 21, I love this. Let's pick up there in verse number 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, were you bought? Who bought you? The Lord Jesus Christ. So you're bought and paid for? So somebody else owns you? If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I'm his. You know what he's given me? Listen, he gave me eternal life. But he's given me a free choice. He's given you a free choice. One of the greatest things that God ever did for man was give him a will, a free will, and man can make his own decisions. Is that not right? So he saved me. And I mean, I just got gloriously saved and I fell in love with the Lord. And I am just telling you, my life has never been the same. Now listen, when you get saved at 22, you have aspirations, you have dreams, you have an education and an upbringing that people tried to put stuff into you. Are you listening to me? This world is trying to brainwash you kids into the most important thing in life is your job and how much money you make. That is not true. And if you kids, the only thing you can think about is your jobs and making money, you're not thinking in the right places. A job is a necessary evil. I had a guy, Norm Bond. Norm was a good Christian, wasn't he, man? And he loved the Lord. And he had a bad background. You know, it just seems like some people, you know, the lower down they were in that pit, the better they do as Christians. Some of you have had it too easy. The slightest little thing, and buddy, you throw a little hissy fit. Man, you get down in that gutter. Let the devil roll you around in the gutter and the Lord save you and set you on that solid rock. You get to appreciate in his goodness.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Brother Norm worked for Cleveland Brothers. Cleveland Brothers, they worked on CAT industrial machines. And so he made his way up the ladder there, and they were offering him a raise and a promotion, but it meant a move. And he came to me, he said, "Preacher, they called me in today." I said, "Well, where did they want you to move?" And it was somewhere in Ohio. I said, "Well, are you praying about it?" He goes, "No, I'm not praying about it." He goes, "I'm in church here. This is where God wants me." He said, "That's just a job." He said, "That's just a necessary evil. I got to serve the Lord." I didn't tell him to say that. Amen. That was in his heart. Amen. But he had a bad past, but he had gotten wondrously saved. So the yoke, get in the yoke with the Lord, it's an instrument of delight. The yoke is an instrument of service. And you know, many times in the Bible, it talks about a yoke of oxen. Servant. Paul said it this way. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He put being a servant ahead of being an apostle. That's what he thought about being a servant. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Go with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Let's see what our Lord says about this. Philippians chapter 2. I think I read somewhere in the Bible that the servant is not greater than his Lord. Amen. Philippians 2, let's pick up verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So this is the mind you ought to have. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of" what? Why are you so eat up about your reputation, what people think about you? You should be concerned about your testimony. Not your reputation.
Amen.
"And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." You know what women in America say today? "I'm not submitting to that man." You know what church members say today? "I'm not submitting to that pastor." Brother Daniel was telling me, you know who... You know who a majority of drivers are for the Amish? Women. And those mouthy, rebellious, brazen women are talking to those Amish women that they're driving around, and those Amish women are going back home giving their husbands lip. And Brother Daniel told me that's a real problem in the Amish community. Oh, listen to me. Baptist women brag about how rebellious they are. I wouldn't let him talk to me that way. It's because you're not a servant. You're not a servant. In the Gospel of Mark, our Lord is portrayed as the servant. It's interesting. In the Gospel of Matthew, he's portrayed as a king. That's why he has a lineage going back to David. In the Gospel of Luke, he's portrayed as the Son of Man. So his lineage goes back to Joseph and David and Adam. In John, he's portrayed as the Son of God. You don't need no lineage when you're the Son of God. And servant in Mark. There's no lineage in Mark. Who cares where the servant came from?
Amen.
Who cares what his bloodlines are?
Amen.
Doesn't matter.
Amen.
No lineage. You know what's really missing in a lot of saved people's lives? A servant's heart.
Amen.
A servant's heart.
Amen.
I guess the preacher that had the biggest impact on me about a servant's heart was Brother Hank Thompson. Brother Hank was a servant. And his church was full of servants. They loved the Lord. So how do you know if I have a servant? When's the last time I upset you with my preaching? When's the last time I upset you or somebody else upset you in the church just because of what they said or didn't say? You don't have a servant's heart. Who cares where the ox or the servant came from as long as the work gets done? Big difference between a servant and a worker, and that's another message, and I'm not going to go there. Go with me. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 10? You know what service is about? Luke chapter 10. It's about others. Service is not about yourself, Lori. It's about others. It's doing for others. Luke 10. Familiar passage, but let's read a few verses. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 10. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You all know the story. He said, what's that? That's a servant. Now, it's interesting. Let's go down to verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was good or bad? It's bad. She was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered means grieved, troubled, distracted. And you know the story there. See, the yoke is an instrument of service. The Bible says the Lord didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I don't understand young people getting out of ministries. I don't understand young adults doing less for the Lord. You are in the prime of life. You should be busy about the master's business.
Amen.
Well, I think I'm doing too much. Did you ever run that by the Lord? Now, I would never talk you into doing anything. God knows I don't want you to. But when you of your own, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't. What are you doing with your time? I really wonder, what are you doing with your time? It's an instrument of service. The yoke is an instrument of unity. What are you doing? You're taking two individuals and you're putting them together so they can do one job. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? You can't have two people in the yoke and going in different ways. Two, in numerology, two is a number of unity and it's a number of witness. A yoke will not work unless there's unity. Going forward. Endeavoring, it says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I can get along with you as long as you get along with the Holy Ghost. When you stop getting along with the Holy Ghost, I am going to have problems getting along with you. And too many folks are trying to play the Holy Ghost. Go to 3 John with me. 3 John. In 3 John, I'm going to pick up in verse number 9. Here's the problem in a lot of families and in a lot of churches. 3 John, verse 9. I'm 3 John, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. That was the Apostle John. That was the Apostle John. This guy thought an awful lot of himself, didn't he? Not only that, verse 10, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doth, prating against who? Talking against the preacher? Isn't it amazing how you can just run your mouth against God's men, criticize God's men preaching or making decisions, and you just think you're right about it. You're a problem. You're not in the yoke with the Lord, and there is no unity. Man, you can get on that texting machine you do, get on your social media, or call your girlfriends or boyfriends and just go to town. You wicked snake. You don't even have the guts to do it to their face. You coward. And then people say, oh, that's such a spiritual person. That's a she-devil is what that is. That's what he says there. Not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. You chasing people away from here? That's not your business. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You got backbiters in the church, gossipers in the church, undermining the things of God. And the Lord says, take my yoke. The Lord doesn't do that. The Lord is not in that. You need to repent. And when you repent, that means you quit doing it. Be good to get off that social media. Be good to stop texting those friends that you're always criticizing somebody else about. That might be repentance. You might find some peace with the Lord. He said, take my yoke. None of that stuff is of God. It's impossible to be in the yoke with the Lord and be divisive against the things of God, God's church, God's people, God's man. You're not in the yoke. So it's an instrument of unity. It's also an instrument of submission. Go to Isaiah chapter 1 with me, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1, look at verse 2 with me. The Bible says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That is the Lord. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation Now, the Lord calls it just as it is, doesn't he?
Amen.
A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. See, the yoke, there has to be submission. Now, you know, in the Bible, it says this. It says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Y'all with me? That's an unequal yoke. Okay, why would the Jews not plow with an ox and an ass? Number one, because of identification. An ox walks different than an ass walks. Do you understand that? Why would you walk with lost people? You're supposed to have a different walk than lost people. Because of an influence, the ox is steady. Do you understand a lot of people that took that Western Trail, they didn't have horses, they had oxen, because it was such a long trip. They were steady, they were straight. With an ass, there's no telling what they're going to do. Kick, carry on. An ass is inconsistent. An ox is steady. So there's just some asses I can't plow with. I'm not plowing with the crowd who denies the King James Bible. Or corrects the King James Bible. Or makes excuses for the King James Bible. That book is my final authority in faith and practice. And it hasn't changed. I understand the church has changed. Styles have changed. All that stuff. Convictions have changed. That book hasn't changed. I am not plowing the crowd that despises separation. My Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. Be not conformed to this world. Y'all want to be conformed to the world? Go someplace else. Why try to change us? What, do you think you're the second coming of the Holy Ghost? Preaching on sin is way too general. People don't want to name it anymore. They're not naming britches on women. Listen, I believe women that wear britches are in rebellion against God. I don't care who it is. I believe women who paint up and dye their hair and all that kind of stuff, I believe they're worldly and vain. Because that's what the Bible says. Are we having a good time tonight? So you say, you just don't love people. Love has nothing to do with what I believe about that book. You're not judging me. God will judge me. I'm not plowing that with that crowd that despises separation. And I'm not plowing with the devil's children that don't preach the gospel, aren't trying to reach the world. Listen, there's a lot of churches that don't have a missions program. They have a gymnasium, and they have a Saturday where the basketball boys come in, and they have a soccer field where the soccer team, but they don't have a missions program. Amen. That Bible told the church to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. If you and I are not involved in worldwide missions, we are not right with God. Amen. I'm not plowing with those people. Amen. Romans chapter 6. We're talking about yielding, submission, Romans chapter number 6. You know what servants do? They yield to their master. They submit to their master. They want to make their master happy. They don't do the job to make themselves happy. They do the job to make their master happy. Romans 6, look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now slide down to verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom, not what, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Kev, you remember? We were out in that devil's field. Buddy, he wore us out. He lied to us. He told us what a great time we were having. No. Buddy, when he saved me, and he told me I could do whatever I wanted to do, I said, no, I love you. Run that all through my ear. I'm staying right here the rest of my life. I want to. It's my privilege. It's my honor. I get all the benefits. I haven't done very much for the Lord, but he sure has done a lot for me. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Dan, remember? That yoke, that Lord has dominion. He rules and reigns over me. And I want it to be that way. I couldn't have a greater master. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my master. I sure love them. So the yoke, it's an instrument of service, unity, and submission. The animals in the yoke don't matter. Without the church, without the power of the Holy Ghost, we're not going to do very much. Amen. And if you don't have that submission, you don't have that willingness to let him rule over you, you're not going to amount to very much. The yoke is also an instrument of supply. Now listen, Deuteronomy said it like this. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. So even when he was in the yoke, he could what? He could eat. Right? Well, hasn't the Lord taken awful good care of us? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Guys, the Bible says with food and raiment, therewith to be content. Is that what it says? Amen. There's not one person in this room, all we have is food and raiment. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. It is so easy to get eat up with mammon. Okay, you know my story. I did not come from a poor family, Anna. My daddy had a lot of money, and I had my first car when I was 15 years old. I didn't even get my license yet. I had nice clothes. I had nice sneakers. Mom did not shop at the Goodwill. Daddy took me and bought me new suits every year. I wore coats and ties all through high school and grade school. Are y'all with me? I had money in my pocket. When I turned 16, I did not buy a car. Daddy gave me a car. I did not pay for my insurance. Daddy put money in my pocket when I was doing the things the world does as a teenager. I mean, I worked jobs, but Daddy, are y'all with me? Nan did not come from that kind of a household. Her mom and dad scratched by. They both had to work. My mom never worked outside the home. And so she knew what it was to eat pretzel soup for lunch. And I never ate pretzel soup in my life, okay? My mother, if my mother tried to put chicken on the table more than once a week, can you imagine eating chicken once a week? Daddy was not happy. Daddy was a beef and potatoes guy. And I am telling you, some of the best years of my life was when I didn't have very much. And me and that woman learned how to pray, learned how to trust the Lord, learned how to live on next to nothing. Now, you can believe me. You can tell me that I'm just blowing in the wind. I'm telling you, those are the best years of our life. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to have a lot of kids. You know, can't afford it. That's what they told me. I didn't have any money. I had to rely on the Lord. Amen. I'm glad for every child. I have 9 healthy children, 2 on the other side, and I'm glad for every one of them. None of them missed a meal that they didn't have to have. None of them went around naked. You know, they got hand-me-downs, and they wore those sneakers from, what was that place? Chapman's. That mammon will eat you up. That mammon will never satisfy. You say, if I just get a little more, you're deceiving yourself. That mammon never satisfies. It's an instrument of supply. That's for all of us. He'll supply our needs. Daily, he loadeth us down with his benefits. The yoke is an instrument of satisfaction. I love the psalm. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Who are you in the yoke with? I can remember times that I got to spend with Brother Jack Wood, meetings. I remember Brother, who was that preacher, Pastor Matt? It was down in Baltimore, Maryland. Brother Buddy Cargill. Buddy Cargill was only in his 40s. Buddy came out of a bad drug past and everything, got saved. And he actually met Brother Jack at one of my meetings, and they became friends. And Brother Cargill passed away. He was only like 45 years old or something. And Brother Jack called me up, and he said, Mike, he said, Brother Cargill went to heaven. And he had called me up 2 days before because he had to go into the hospital, and he was trying to raise money for him to pay for his operation. Well, he never got to the operation. He died. And so he said, Mike, we need to bury our dead. That's what he said. We need to bury our dead. And I said, okay. He said, I'm going to fly into Washington. Why don't you drive down, pick me up, and we'll go and we'll get a room. And Jack Wood, call me. Come pick him up. Spend a couple of days with him. Are y'all with me? Amen. Jack was one of my heroes. He did so much for me. But I got a bigger hero than that. Who are you in the yoke with? It's supposed to be the Lord. And listen, so many churches are trying to make the Christian life an exciting life, a sparkling life, a 4th of July fireworks life. That's not the Christian life. No. You get in that plow. You get in that yoke with the Lord, and it's plowing. Kev, have you ever plow?
Yes, sir.
I mean, even in a tractor, doesn't that get old?
Yes, sir.
Go up one side of the field, turn around, down the other side of the field. And then you got to keep it straight, right? I mean, you can't be dozing off, you know, and just got to be straight. Who's not going to be happy? Daddy's not going to be happy. Are you all with me? I'm in the yoke with the Lord. I woke up at 6:30 this morning. I got to go in my room, lay down in my little spot. I said, good morning, Lord. He said, morning, Mike. I said, Lord, thank you. I had such a wonderful time with the Lord. We've been in the yoke with him all these years. What a blessing. What a privilege. What a great life. Hey, I'm telling you kids something. You believe it or leave it. You better marry the right person. You better try to find out what their heart is. And you better have a right heart too. I'm not sure you can do that texting. If you love preaching, you better make sure they love preaching. If you love serving the Lord, you better make sure they love serving the Lord. If you got contentment in your heart, you better make sure they got contentment. Forget about the curves. Forget about the hair. Better find out what's in the heart. I was too stupid to pick out a wife. I will admit it. And God said, this is who I want you to marry. Amen. I figure he knows better than me.
Amen.
I know some of you think you know more than God, but he knows better. So I said, will you marry me? And God told her, you marry him. I'll take care of him. Are you listening to me? After salvation, that's the most important decision you'll make.
Amen.
You get unequally yoked, you won't have a satisfied life. No. That cross, it's a way of life. It's an instrument of death. Give you victory over your flesh. That yoke is a walk with the Lord. It's supposed to be an instrument of delight. Guys, you start your day with the Lord, there ought to be some joy and some songs emanating from you. And when you come and go, we walked up to this counter to give an order. My wife and I did, and a young lady was back there. I'd never seen her in this restaurant before. And she said, can I do something for you or something like that? And I forget it. We started a conversation, and I put my arm around my wife, and I said, this is my wife of almost 48 years. She goes, 48 years? I can't believe it. I said, well, believe it, because it is. I said, this was the second greatest decision I made in my life. She goes, what was your first? I'm so glad you asked. And I told her, accepting the Lord Jesus. And I sort of raised the volume of my voice so everybody could hear me. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. My personal Savior. That yoke work, it's not very flashy, it's not very exciting. Sometimes it can be a little bit boring and mundane, tedious. Same field. And I know how it is. You first get saved, man, you're all super excited. First time I ever preached, guys, I preached in a nursing home in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. I preached 4 minutes, I think. My palms were sweaty, my armpits were sweaty. My back was sweaty. My stomach was sweaty. I was sweaty all over the place. I was choking on my words. I got to say something for him. Boy, what a satisfying life. The delight, it's all about him. It's all about him. So, I ask you, are you in the yoke with the Lord tonight? You need to have a cross. You need to pick up your cross, and you need to follow the Lord. That will help you to die to self, get victory over the flesh. But you need to get in the yoke with the Lord about serving him. And that will help you overcome the lust and the allurements of the world. Because you've got way more important business. You're serving God. You're doing God's work. With the Lord. He didn't send you out. He's right there with you in the yoke. It should be an instrument of delight. If you always have to drag them, if you always have to push them, if you always have to talk them into it, no cross, no yoke, not going to amount to much. You need your heart